Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers take the bragging rights in the final Old Firm game of the season with a 2-0 win. So what now for both sides? Does this affect Neil Lennon's job prospects, and can Steven Gerrard compete next season? And of course, we've got a huge game at the bottom between St Mirren and Hamilton Accies as well. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
The Neil Lennon debate rages on, but maybe the question isn't, should Neil Lennon get the Celtic job? Maybe the question should be, does Neil Lennon want the Celtic job? His remit was to get 8 in a row over the line after Brendan Rodgers left. He did that, and he deserves more respect than he's been shown so far for doing so. But Ibrox yesterday was a watershed moment for Celtic. The wage bill is too high, the deadwood's too high, the need for new players is obvious. The remit is 10 in a row or else. Neil Lennon has a Celtic legacy. Maybe you want to hold on to it.
And Rangers fans across the city waking up delighted this morning, Alex Ray, and you can understand why.
Absolutely, Gordon. It was a comfortable win for Rangers in the last Old Firm match. It was also a big win for Kamarnock with that dubious penalty. And then we have this game tonight with Hamilton and St Mirren. Big one.
Lots of questions, Hugh, coming out of the game yesterday. I sort of alluded to them in the headlines. Neil Lennon's situation is going to take the headline, if you like, at Celtic. But for Rangers, the fans are excited again. It becomes about, okay, what does this mean? Is there such a thing as a marker? Can you go and compete for silverware next season? Yeah.
Let me say right away, Rangers have had a trophyless season and Celtic have won 8 in a row and might actually have a treble by the 25th of May. However, Steven Gerrard, I think, is one transfer window away from having a very good side who could, I underline, could win the league next season. Celtic have to respond to what is going on. They need a manager on a permanent basis. They need a head of recruitment. The deadwood is too high. They'll have to get that wage bill of £60 million down. So Celtic have to have a response to what's going on at Ibrox. I do know that Celtic have dominated Scottish football entirely for 3 years. That is not to say that someone can't come along and threaten your domination. They have to have a good summer.
Can I just ask a question there, Hugh, in terms of the £60 million wage budget has to be reduced. Why is that? Due to the fact that they've posted record turnover. If they're going to go and get a big manager, is he going to be happy coming into an environment where they're reducing, cutting back? So these are the factors that, you know, we have to take into account.
I think we can delve into that sort of stuff maybe another time. I'm wondering about the bigger picture with regards to yesterday's game, Alex. So the Rangers fans, you know all too well, they've had a couple of these false dawns before.
Absolutely.
They've thought that this was the time, but can this one be the time, if you like? Because 2 wins against Celtic this season, that's something they hadn't previously been able to manage. Individually, players who show that they can get the better of their opposite number in these games as well. Does that have to be the belief for the summer that they can come back and compete next season?
I think that's the thing they can take from the game, Gordon. I think when you go back to December, everyone felt as if there was going to be a title challenge and it petered out. They couldn't regain the form that they showed in that. They were inconsistent. If you're from a Rangers perspective, you watch that again on the back of that, you're encouraged. I keep reiterating how important the transfer window is, the need for quality, the need for Steven Gerrard to be backed, and he will feel as if he can identify the right talent, because they need strength and depth, Gordon. They've obviously signed Jones and Stewart and Hasty as well, so they've brought these young guys in as well to nurture them. For me, they're not starters, so they have to bring in better quality.
Steven Gerrard says they dominated in every department against Celtic yesterday, and he says desire was the key to the result. He also says he didn't see the incident between John Flanagan and Scott Brown. What did you make of the game yesterday? Let's hear it. 0141 951 1025.
Outstanding, I think, from start to finish. I think we've built on the last four or five performances, really, and that's probably been the best out of them all, and it had to be. You know, I said last week we started the game very well, but the majority of last week's performance wasn't enough to win today, because Celtic are a good team, got top players, and we're very respectful to their achievements and probably what they're going to go on to achieve in a couple of weeks. So it's very important we show that respect. But today was about Rangers from start to finish. We dominated in every department, so the players deserve a lot of credit. We're no one without desire. I think to achieve things at the top level of football, there's certain words that have to be non-negotiable, and desire is one of them, especially here with this crowd. You'll be found out very quickly if you don't show desire, whether that's individually or collectively. So yeah, you're right, I think that was there in abundance today, and we need to carry that into next year as well. I haven't seen the incident, so I don't want to say too much on it.
Desire, was that the key yesterday?
Without doubt. I said at the top of the programme yesterday, Gordon, that they had to get in Celtic's faces. The way they went about their business, you know, they pressed right for the off. Kent won the ball back from Lustig, and then resulting from that initial free kick, they got the goal. It gave them the confidence, it got the crowd going, and Celtic did not recover from that point.
And then on the flip side, from Celtic's perspective, Hugh Keevans, that would be a worry. If a team comes and shows more desire than you, then that's not good.
Well, Neil Lennon had a damning assessment of his own team's performance, which no doubt we'll hear later on in the programme. So it's not the dreaded media saying it, it's the interim manager of Celtic saying it, that they were flat and some looked as if they were simply fulfilling the fixture. It was an awful performance from Celtic.
Here's Neil Lennon, then we'll take a call from Robert in Newlands.
Poor, very poor. Lacked energy and desire and lacked quality. The hungrier team won today, and I think that's the biggest criticism we're going to lay at the players' feet, really. The hungrier team won. We look flat, and we look like we were just fulfilling the fixture today, and that's obviously it's not good enough. It's a red card, again. How the referee's not giving that as a red card, I don't know. It's just the elbow into his face. You know, their bench is shouting, oh, it's him again, but it's a clear elbow into his face. I mean, John's got his hands up, first of all. Brownie's moving to get away, and then he elbows him in the jaw. It's a straight red card. It's totally unacceptable, and unacceptable for the referee not to give a red card. Now, I'm not distracting away from the rest of the game where we were second best, but the laws of the game are it's a red card, and you can dress it up any way you want. You elbow somebody in the face, you're off. So they've got away with one there. Maybe it's because it's Brownie again? I don't know. But it's a straight red card. Anyway, let's not get away from the fact that we were flat today and deserved to lose the game.
Yeah. A truthful assessment by Neil Lennon. I mean, he obviously asked the question about John Flanagan, and that's why he has gone on about it, but he's very, very clear that he doesn't want that to deflect from the fact that Rangers were by far the better side and thoroughly deserved to win the game. And yes, I am aware that social media shows Jozo Siminovic and Jermaine Defoe clashing, but the footage on social media is inconclusive, so I can't help you out there. But the Celtic captain himself, Scott Brown, said it wouldn't have made any difference if they'd sent John Flanagan off. Rangers would probably have won the match anyway.
Robert is in Newlands. As a Rangers fan, Robert, what pleased you most about yesterday?
Glenn Kamara. I thought he was superb from the moment that he touched the ball, and then he was just superb for the whole 90 minutes, and he's probably the greatest steal in our club's history. 50k from Dundee. Absolutely brilliant. Say a great recruitment in the Rangers front. But the point I was going to make tonight is the one conclusion that I did make after the game, although we were man-to-man the better team, and even if you did take the John Flanagan incident into account, if it went in the red card perspective, then we probably still would have got the result. But the one conclusion I did make was that we really do actually need to start invest and take the transfer, if the transfer rumours are true, and if Marcy are interested, sell Morelos and get Kent in immediately. That should be our priority for the summer. You know, don't do what Celtic did and not rise to it and get like the players like McGinn who they were going for, or trying to re-sign Patrick Roberts. We need someone like Kent in the team if we're going to even have a sniff at the title next season. Now, we've already started our recruitment drive with the likes of the pre-contract signings, which are superb. But Kent has proved in a Rangers jersey that he wants to play for this club, and we need to. If the asking price is 14 million, we need to find a way to pay it. Whether it's selling or one of our main assets, which I know will be a sacrifice, but let's be honest, he almost sacrifices the league opportunity. So I think we need to start investing in Kent and then look to the future and hopefully a title race next season.
It's fine, you've got it all figured out for Ryan Kent, Hugh Keevans.
It's quite simple. Robert, you wait until the 2nd of June. You hope that Liverpool have won the Champions League. Steven Gerrard goes down to Anfield. Everyone hugs and embraces him. And he says, listen, you couldn't do me a favour, could you? And let Ryan Kent come up the road for another season. And then you'll get him. But it's a statistical fact that Rangers' best run of the season, 6 games undefeated, has been achieved largely without Alfredo Morelos. So I don't think that Ibrox would fall down if Morelos was sold. Whether Rangers would take a large percentage of the money for Morelos and buy Ryan Kent, I'm not sure. But that's my other solution. Go down when they're all full of champagne and ask for him.
Listen, I said yesterday in the show the importance of Ryan Kent. For me, he was really bright in periods yesterday within the game. He causes people a lot of problems when he is driving up. He can go inside, he can go outside. And when you're able to do that and you have the pace and from a standing start as well, he can drive past people. So to try and get him signed, Gordon, would be massive. Come back to the Kamara thing. I love the fact what Robert said there and says, it's got to be the best 50 grand spent, the best signing in history, that type of thing. I would argue that Boomsong and Dado Prusso, who we got for nothing, were quite above that at the moment. But the kid's shown really good promise. He can manipulate the ball, he can dictate games, he's mobile, and he has a good future at a club.
And you saw it. And you know, encapsulated with that second goal. You know, he wins the ball, skips away from Scott Brown, picks the pass. It's relying on a great understanding from Jermaine Defoe. But is that exactly what Rangers fans will be hoping to see more of from Glenn Kamara going forward?
Stephen Davis is a prime example of that, Gordon, because for me, he's the one that actually sees the forward passes. I watch all the other midfielders, and Kamara highlighted he has it in his locker yesterday. I'd love to see the midfielders do that more, drive at people, look to probe passes, look to do diagonals. But that all stems from movement, understanding, and then executing the delivery. And since Stephen Davis came into the reckoning, Kamara seems to be doing that more as well. So he will learn from the guys on the pitch. Stephen Gerrard will be coaching it, Gary McAllister. So the development is just a kid, and he will progress.
Final word to you, Robert.
Well, after what Alex said, I think I've got to agree with him. Darryl, first of all, I've been so worth superb. And that's when I kind of started becoming like a real regular at Ibrox. So, and they were extremely happy guys. But no, I mean, absolutely high spirits from yesterday. Celtic can make excuses saying that it didn't mean anything. How can an Old Firm not mean anything? I mean, come on. You're talking about one of the biggest club games in the world, so I'm not buying it. But a superb result yesterday, and let's hopefully that we can work from it from next season. That's what I can ask for.
Great stuff. Thank you to Robert in Newlands. It's 0141 951 1025 if you want to add anything. Paul's in Kirkintilloch. Hi, Paul.
Hey, hi, guys. Hi, Alec. Hi,
Paul.
Hi there.
Where did it go wrong yesterday for your team, Paul?
It went wrong basically through the start. 2 minutes in, when the Rangers goal flew in, and we never really got started. Didn't look interested and looked very flat. And the one chance we did have at 30, I would say the total wrong guy, who appears to be like a nervous wreck.
What about the bigger picture then, Paul? Does this worry you ahead of next season, or are you a bit more calm about the full thing?
No, to be honest, it doesn't really worry me. Yesterday it annoyed me, obviously. And I know the last caller said, how can you say it didn't mean anything? In the scale of bragging rights, it doesn't mean something. But really, Celtic have got the league wrapped up, and every game they've had to win in Scotland when it mattered, they've done it. When the chips are down, they've filled it out. It reminds me of when I was growing up, going to the games, the Tommy Burns era and Rangers name in the role, where quite often Celtic would win the last Old Firm game of the season once the league was won, and you thought, this is it, we're back. But Rangers would just go out, say our players, and the same thing the next following year. It just highlighted a bit the Celtic squad, how much it needs refreshed. And it definitely does need work done here. We were missing a lot of players yesterday. It's not an excuse. These guys should be able to go up for it. But they really missed any kind of creativity. Tom Rodic, since he's come back for the World Cup, he's not turned up at all. You know?
I take your point. I remember the days of Tommy and you know, Celtic's year at Hampden, for example. Rangers had won the league comfortably, but went to Hampden for the final Old Firm game and Celtic beat them 3-0. You know, they take the foot off the accelerator. It's as simple as that. What Paul and other Celtic supporters should not do, though, is assume that life will just go on in this way. Because although Rangers have had another trophy-less season, although Rangers did not make the final of either domestic cup competition, there are obvious signs of improvement there. And I repeat, Steven Gerrard may be one transfer window away from having a very good team. They are the beginning of a good idea, Rangers, and it would be very dangerous for Celtic supporters to get complacent.
I was just actually going to say, in terms of, I think Paul mentioned they replenished the squad, and I looked at the squad today, Gordon. I think they had about 18 or 19 players. Within that 19 players, they probably had 14 who had contributed and had been regulars to the squad. They try to think about how many players you would actually need to add to that. For me, it's around about the 8 to 10 players that Celtic have to recruit this summer, and that's with the two guys that he mentions, Forrest and Tierney, within that group. So for me, they still have a lot of work to do. And again, it goes back to Hugh's point in terms of recruitment. Who's a manager? And as the time creeps on, who is actually going to be signing these guys? Because it's, you know, it's getting tight.
I mean, we kicked off by praising Rangers, and deservedly so, for the desire, for the midfield play of Glenn Kamara and so on. In contrast, you couldn't pick a player that got past marks for Celtic, really, could you?
Gordon, I have to be honest with you. See the way that they actually started and set up. For the life of me, I couldn't understand why they went with the wing backs and what they did. People will say it was because of a necessity, but there was ways round about that. And when you look at Mikey Johnson playing at right wing back, for me, I just couldn't get my head around it. And I haven't spoken to a few guys. I said on the show yesterday, leading up to the show, they were going, "We look a bit powder puff." I said that before the game yesterday. That was their concerns, and it proved to be that way.
Paul, what does this mean for Neil Lennon? Does it mean anything for Neil Lennon?
Well, yeah, I think it does. I don't think it looks great for Neil Lennon, but as yet, and the club haven't come out and said it, as yet, I've not heard anybody else that would come in that would do, that's more kind of qualified to do the job. I have heard that some of the French guys don't really understand that it's a total different way of management to Brendan Rodgers, where he was very, put his arm down and tell you what you wanted to hear, but Neil Lennon's maybe a bit more of a kind of old-fashioned manager. I get the same kind of feeling that when Ronnie Dyler was the Celtic, and when Celtic lost the penalty shootout to Rangers, the same kind of panic for a manager. And I really hope, if it's going to be Neil Lennon or whoever it's going to be, that Dermot Desmond is quite willing to kind of smash the cash.
Hugh, is this a similar watershed moment to that semi-final? Because that semi-final knocked Celtic out of a cup. It meant they didn't have another trophy to add to the league. Whereas this one doesn't really impact what Celtic win or don't win this season. Is this enough to jolt people inside Celtic Park to say, "Oh, okay, Neil Lennon's not the man, let's look elsewhere"?
When Ronnie Dyler's time was up, Dermot Desmond decided that he couldn't watch a manager with a team whose fitness was dropping, whose appeal to the Celtic support was dropping, and Rangers beating Celtic was the final straw. So he spent significant money to get Brendan Rodgers in. Obviously, the situation with regard to Neil Lennon is different, because Celtic have now won 8 trophies in a row. And I think respect should be shown to Neil Lennon, who was a terrific Celtic player and previously won titles and took them to the last 16 of the Champions League as a Celtic manager. I think some of the things being said by Celtic supporters about Neil Lennon are disrespectful. I don't think he will get the job. I don't. But he should be given due credit for taking over when Brendan Rodgers left and the fans were in a state of disarray and distraught. He got them over the line. That was his remit. He has done so, and he deserves thanks for that. But I'm not sure that Neil Lennon wants the Celtic job, because he admitted that getting 8 in a row over the line was the toughest thing he had ever faced. And I looked at him yesterday and I just wondered if he wanted to keep his Celtic legacy intact. His legacy of having gone to a European final with Celtic, of having won league titles as a Celtic player.
Surely he'd want to add to it, though.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm not entirely convinced that, you know, Neil would have to speak for himself. You're asking me my interpretation of events.
0141 951 1025. We will hear more from Neil Lennon and Stephen Gerrard after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. Give us a call or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Lots of reaction coming into yesterday's game. Paul says Celtic have not convincingly beaten anyone since Neil Lennon came in. Flat displays in two games where Aberdeen bottled it are not impressive. If £3 million was spent on Brendan Rodgers after the semi-final in 2016, then the £10 million compensation we got for him should be spent on a decent manager. And Craig Logan says, I sent a tweet on Saturday that the fear factor was gone and Rangers would win 3-0. Well, it was 2-0, going on 6. Well deserved. We've handed Celtic the title. I mean, Hugh, not everyone can get the exact scoreline prediction correct.
No, so just me, really.
First of time for everything. What is it they say about a broken clock?
Exactly. Yes, the fear factor has gone. Celtic cannot lord it over Rangers as they did for two seasons under Brendan Rodgers, when the phrase was the score will be what Celtic want it to be, and pretty much that was the case. But that's gone now. And that's why I say it'd be dangerous for the Celtic supporters to get complacent, to say that yesterday's match was meaningless and signifies nothing. But Stephen Gerrard is coming close to a team who could win the league. And Celtic had better acknowledge that and respond to it, because they've been fantastically consistent, 8 trophies in a row, but some players now look seriously jaded.
Gaz is in Tradeston. What are you thinking after yesterday, Gaz, as a Celtic fan?
I'm obviously disappointed, Gordon, but I kind of think it's been a massive overreaction. I kind of think we didn't really learn anything. We didn't know what was going to happen. We always knew we were going to have to get a new manager. We knew there was going to be a massive squad rebuild. Again, as Celtic fans, we knew that was going to happen, so I'm not really sure what's changed. As I said, I think it's been a huge overreaction. Granted, Rangers have won the last 6 games and they have improved, but I mean, these are essentially friendlies for them for next season. And as time and time again, it's been a season, they haven't kind of stood up to that pressure. So I think it's maybe more about that. And I don't know, I just think it's been a massive overreaction from Celtic fans, probably more than anything else.
Well, I make the point again that Rangers have had a trophyless season again, did not make either domestic cup final, and yet left to a standing ovation yesterday. And I think, Gaz, that's because the Rangers supporters can see that they are gradually building, under Stephen Gerrard, a team capable of winning the league. And while the overreaction may come from Celtic supporters who are disappointed, or Rangers supporters who were tremendously excited by it all, the bottom line is that Celtic need to respond in the summer, need to make the right managerial appointment, need to get a director of recruitment, need to try and remove as much of the deadwood as possible and get in proper players, not the low knees that, you know, haven't worked out. The last transfer window, Timothy Weah, he'll be gone. Toljan, he'll be gone. Ollie Burke, he'll be gone. Izaguirre, he'll be gone. You know, it's time for Celtic to get serious if they want to achieve their own holy grail of 10 in a row.
Gaz, you said the squad needs a rebuild. What does that look like then? Who's finished as far as you're concerned?
Lustig for starts. Izaguirre, obviously. I'm trying to think who else. I think we need another striker. Maybe, again, do you know what it is? The actual starting 11, like, it's not too bad. Maybe need another 3 or 4 players for that, but it's just kind of the backup. If we're playing 60 games a season, the quality that's came in hasn't been anywhere near as good as the first 11. So I think it's maybe more to do with that as well. But
you know, there
primarily
was a time,
I'd be looking at the defence.
There was a time, Gaz, when Celtic had Edouard, Dembele and Griffiths, and now there's just Edouard. So clearly that's an area that has to be looked at, and all over the back line has to be looked at as well.
Alex, I don't think it's particularly fair to single out individual players too much when the team performance was so bad, but a prime example of that failure to step in and take your chance would have been the likes of Oliver Burke yesterday. James Forrest is the player of the year. If he's not in the team, it's bound to be a blow. However, you're well within your rights to expect a guy of his transfer fees, for one thing, to come in and make a bit more of an impact.
Yeah, he Gordon, for the first 30 minutes, he was the strike partner with Edward yesterday. I'm looking at Rangers, I'm saying before the game, why not allow him to go toe-to-toe with John Flanagan? Power and pace, just allow him to run at him, see if he can get some joy. The way that Rangers had shaped up, down the lines of the width of the 18-yard box, Rangers were really condensed. And it was crying out for width, and he didn't have that because Mikey Johnson was so far back. But you're absolutely right, mate, you're saying in terms of Ollie Burke. He has not had the ground running. I read an article today when he first came up saying he could be the Gareth Bale. He just needs to get his career up and running. For me, he hasn't hit the heights at all up here. And I'm really struggling to find where that boy goes. He needs to get a position. Oh. He needs to play a regular run of games also, because I think he's moved for about 25 million quid, Gordon. You're lucky if he's played 40 or 50 games.
And for all it was a very convincing Rangers win, Hugh, if he sticks away that easy chance, you just never know. Maybe at the very least, it maybe makes it a nervy finish to the game.
Last 5 minutes, yeah.
And it was a bit of a sitter, wasn't it? I mean, well done, Wes Fotheringham, for reading it and getting down. But as a striker or an attacker, you're expected to score.
Yeah, it was a sitter, and therefore he played two derby matches in one day. His first and his last, because he's not hanging around. He doesn't fit, doesn't look right, doesn't seem to be enjoying himself here. So that relationship will come to an end after cup final day.
Gordon, you were saying about what Celtic need. When you look at Boyata, Benkovic is saying today that he might come back, but if he doesn't, they need two centre halves guaranteed, because I'm not sure the boy Henry is going to be about much longer. I think Ian Simunovic has done really well in the last couple of months, so they will most certainly stay. Lustig would have signed a new contract by now, so I think he may well go. The interesting thing about Izaguirre, he was in the media last week saying he's already been offered a 1 year extension, Hugh. Which was a surprise to me, because for the fact that he didn't even play yesterday, Gordon, would suggest that he's on his toes.
Gaz, you said that you already knew Celtic needed a manager, so you were unconvinced by Neil Lennon before yesterday's game. What effect did yesterday's game have on it? Did it just underline that for you?
It just kind of solidified what I'd already thought, to be honest with you. As you've heard a million times, everybody kind of wants Neil Lennon to have the job, but it's just not working for whatever reason. I think the difference between him and Rodgers is obviously massive. Completely different characters, completely different ways of working. A lot of rumours coming out of Lennox Town that even the staff aren't kind of happy with Neil Lennon, how he operates. So this has been a completely different
hold on a second there. You know, that's unfair. You know, you've presented us with unsubstantiated rumours about Neil Lennon's relationship with the staff at Lennox Town. That's unfair. You know, we can look at his team on the park. We can look at his team selection yesterday.
Oh, no, definitely. But
so that's why I said at the start of the programme, Neil Lennon's remit was to steady the ship after Brendan Rodgers left for Leicester, and to get 8 in a row over the line. The league was all that mattered to Celtic. He has done so. So at least show him respect for having done that. To come up with unsubstantiated rumours.
Gaz did admit they were rumours. You know, he wasn't making any serious accusations.
I just think it's unfair. The man's not here to defend himself, and you're saying the staff don't like him.
Hugh, do you know the interesting thing that surprises me? And I know some of the performances haven't been great. Out of the 12 games, Gordon, 8 wins, 3 draws, and 1 defeat.
What about that?
Is not bad at any level. Yeah,
what about that, Gaz, in terms of the big picture? If, and I appreciate it's an if, Neil Lennon wins the Scottish Cup, so he's managed to see the treble over the line, or certainly two-thirds of it, and he's lost one game within that time. Is that still not enough for you?
No, do you know what? It's an amazing record, but and again, it's like we've got out of jail a few times, but I'm just not convinced. And kind of one of the things that hasn't convinced me is that I kind of feel like he's not been himself. He's not been the Neil Lennon we all know and love from the past. He's kind of like turned into this. It's like he's kind of trying to be, or he's been told to be, kind of like Rodgers, kind of calm and quiet. And it's not really his style. And I think it's quite easy to see when he's on the touchlines and in the press and stuff. He seems a lot more, a lot quieter. And I kind of think that he just doesn't kind of come across like genuine.
Guys, can I ask you just a question before we let you go, and I'll make it brief? Could that be the circumstances though, because he's the interim manager? You know, you just it's a lot different from actually being the manager. You can be yourself, you can express yourself, you can get your own players in, whereas this is a kind of unnatural position for Neil throughout the 10 years that he's managed.
Oh, definitely, Alex, but it's like if somebody says to you, try and be Hugh Evans, you couldn't do it. Do you know what I mean?
My trousers are getting higher every day, son. I'm trying my best.
it's a hard thing to try and be someone else. You can only be, like, especially in management, you can only be the way that you are with people. So I don't know, it just feels like he's been kind of told to do that, and he's not really happy with it, and he's not really coming across the way, like, I'd expect him to.
Okay, thank you, Gaz. In Tradeston, there is only one Hugh Keevans, let's be honest. Steven Gerrard says they've shown they can compete with Celtic. He's challenging his players to do it over the course of a season, though he's hoping they can take belief and take it into next campaign.
We should take a lot of belief and confidence from this performance and this result. And, you know, if you analyse the four derby games, I think we've been more than a match. And that hasn't been the area where we've fell short. We've drew too many games elsewhere. And there's been one or two disappointing defeats within there as well. But it's a huge challenge here. Just because we've won today and performed very well, it doesn't make it any easier for next year. Celtic are not going to go away. They're going to improve, and they're still the target for us to try and knock them off the perch. So as I say, we're very respectful to the challenge and the opposition, but we have to take confidence and belief from games like this. And I think at our best, we've shown that we can compete and beat them. But we have to do it over a longer period of time. And that's a bigger challenge, and you have to do it in cup competitions when it comes down to a one-off game. So that's the challenge moving forward. Can we be better over a longer period? Can we be more consistent over a longer period? Or if it gets to a stage where we meet them in a cup competition, can we perform at that level, because that level beats them?
Thomas is a Rangers fan in Easterhouse. What do you make of that, Thomas, then? All this talk about progression and gaps and markers for next season. Where are your team at the moment?
All right, pal, how are we doing?
Good, thanks.
I don't think there is a gap. Listen, obviously we've came through where we came through, the third division, so there has got to be a gap. But I don't think it's ever been as big as people made it out to be. I think Rangers, because I think in Scottish football, you can only go so far. People keep saying that Celtic can go and spend big in the summer. You can have £100 million to spend in Scotland, but you're only going to get a certain level of player here. So I don't think it's ever been that big. I think the problem is the standard player we were bringing in. And this year, if you look at both teams, I think the only difference between them is consistency. Celtic were more consistent and deserved to win the league. There's no doubt about that. And we let ourselves down in big games. But if you look at the signings, like Edward, he's a £9 million player. Is he any better than Morelos or Defoe? I wouldn't say so. And Cham, £4 million. Is he any better than Arfield or Kamara? I wouldn't say that. I don't think they're... Man for man, I don't think they're any better than what we are. I just think they're more consistent, and they had a good manager under Brendan Rodgers, and obviously Neil Lennon came in who could get them over the line because he knows what it's like. But I don't think there's a big gap. I think Rangers are two players away from being there where we need to be, and that's challenging and taking them on for the league.
There's no doubt that yesterday must have been a source of frustration for Rangers supporters in a sense, because in all likelihood, the gap between Celtic and Rangers after the final games have been played will be 6 points. When you consider that Rangers are at Kilmarnock on Sunday, Rangers have dropped 7 points out of nine to Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock alone might have won Rangers the league. So, ifs and buts, as Big Derek would say. But you can only measure the gap in terms of this. Celtic have won the last 8 trophies in a row. By the 25th of May, it might be 9 trophies in a row. Rangers are looking for their first big trophy for 8 years. So that's what Steven Gerrard has to do next season. But I repeat, I think he's one transfer window away from having a side that will be serious, serious contenders for the title next season.
Yeah, I think the caller's right there, Gordon, in terms of what you look at the fine margins. Steven Gerrard hit the nail on the head there when he said that it's not Celtic it's been the issue this season, it's been the smaller games, and they need to be more consistent. For me, they need a bigger pool and they need better quality here. And I said that yesterday in the bench. Now, whether that's bringing in better loan players or signing better players to get that quality going. For example, yesterday, Celtic on the bench, Benkovic, £11 million, and Sham, 4.5, Sinclair 3.5, Toljan 6 million. And then you look at the Rangers bench. I'm only talking about what they actually paid. Now, that some guys you pay 6 million for in their crap. But what I'm saying is, you know, you've got Barisic at 2, Candias at 1 mil, Morelos at 1 mil. Rangers need to get a bigger pool, better quality players, and they'll be able to compete over the course and distance, because when Celtic are down to the bare bones, they can bring in that better quality.
Thank you very much, Thomas, in Easterhouse. We just heard from Steven Gerrard, so we'll do Neil Lennon next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here, so give us a call or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Lots still to come. Remember, massive game at the bottom tonight in Paisley, St Mirren against Hamilton. Alex, we'll look at it in a bit more detail later, but this time of the season, it's win or bust for St Mirren, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I think a point might well do them tonight, Gordon, due to the fact I've got Dundee at the weekend, so, you know, it's still a fighting chance. But if you're Brian Rice, a point doesn't do them. They have to win tonight, actually. Sorry, I've got that wrong. No, they do need to win, and it's massive for them. But they've done brilliantly in the last couple of weeks, picking up some important points late on.
Let's get this absolutely right, because it's too important. Would a point do them?
Well, still two games to go.
Four points between them.
No, a point wouldn't do them, because then effectively you're a game down. And they can't catch the 4 points. So
Sackies would get a point as well, remember?
No, I've got that wrong. Listen, it's Monday, it's a long weekend.
We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We'll deal with that later on. We've also got a nice chance for you, for any keen runners out there, or someone who wants to become a keen runner. We've got a nice men's 10k prize for you in the second hour. We're on Twitter. David says Rangers look so much better with Katic playing. For me, playing Warrell most of the season was a big boo-boo. Celtic would still have won the league, but it might have been tighter, says David. Is that what yesterday was about as well, Alex? Because let's be honest, the league table doesn't lie. The league table never lies. But Rangers are now at least at such a level where they can start looking at maybe one or two regrets here and there.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think the game directly after the Old Firm game against Kilmarnock, Defoe and Davis, you know, listen, hindsight's a great thing, Gordon. We can all stand here and go, I shouldn't have played them. When you look at the form they're hitting now, you're hoping that they come in and have that impact right away, and it just took them a little bit longer. So there will be periods throughout the season. That Kilmarnock game with the boy Warrell tried to do the little Cruyff turn, last man cost it. Rangers were rocking, but even on the back of that, Gordon, they still reacted a little bit better. But I think Steven Gerrard, I actually think the group will be a bit better for us as well, about how trying to manage things, how to try and dig out results. It's a new squad altogether.
Neil Lennon says Celtic have got a lack of depth in their squad and it cost them yesterday. Believes a lot of work needs to be done in the summer, and simply the performance was not good enough for a match like that.
Well, it's a rebuilding job, there's no question of that, and I've known that since day one. I think the lack of depth in the squad has been apparent for quite a while, and again it manifested itself today. A real lack of quality. Yeah, we've known that for quite a while. We got a cup final to look forward to. Obviously, we're disappointed with the performance today, but we know that what's at stake in the next couple of weeks now for us, and that's very important that we don't let anything get in the way from that. But I had to tell the players, whether I'm here or not next year, that performance is just not good enough for a derby. From minute one, where we lose the ball when we got possession, players not being in the right positions for a defensive set play, standing on the outside looking in, and we were just sort of pedestrian all day, lacking physicality, lacking real desire that you require for games of this magnitude. So you can't dress it up. It's a poor performance from us. Look, we've come through a lot of big games recently, and meaningful games. I'm not saying this isn't meaningful, but you know, quarterfinals, semi-finals, league games. Got the title won last week, so we've got a cup game to go, cup final to look forward to. Then maybe I'll know after that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the bragging rights were lost well and truly yesterday, but that's a one weekend affair. It's the big picture that's important, the immediate future for Celtic and Rangers. And Neil Lennon saying it's a rebuilding job. Now, as I say, this is not... Some people believe that if you say anything about Celtic, then, you know, you've got an agenda against the club and all the usual nonsense. This is Neil Lennon saying a rebuilding job is required.
8 to 10 players here.
As many as that?
Absolutely. I'm telling you, I looked at that list.
Show us your working. Not disagreeing with you, just wanting you to elaborate.
I seen about 18 or 19 players, Gordon. Four or five of them didn't really feature much the list.
Oh, so you're talking that's like the overall number involved. You're not saying Celtic need to sign 8 to 10 players?
No, I am saying that they need to sign 8 to 10, because out of the 18 or 19 players that I've got it on my phone. The only reason why the phone's not on, because my mute button, and I don't want it to go off, it's not working. So, but I'll have a look, I'll write them down, and then I'll say that there was about 14 players. For me, they need about 24 to 25 players to compete. If they're getting through the qualifiers and then competing all fronts, you need about 24 to 25 players. For me, that suggests that they need about 8 or 9 players.
So on top of what they've already got, I'm just a bit confused.
Absolutely, because I think, well, there's about, I told you a couple of weeks ago, there's 13 or maybe 14 going out. So to bring 8 or 10 back in wouldn't surprise me to bolster that squad.
Okay, let's speak to John in Parkhead. What conclusions did you draw from yesterday, John? Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi, John. Can you just turn your radio off in the background?
Yes, 2 minutes.
Good man. I could hear Alex Ray coming back at me there. That's right, never that's a good thing. Good man, John. What did you take away from yesterday?
That's just things are shocking, the performance and every part of the pitch, to be honest, for Celtic.
Who frustrated you the most? Who's been frustrating you the most?
I don't know. I've been right off Scott Brown. I think he's going to be in the team next year. He's been obviously the heart of the team for years. I think he's lost his legs. The next season he should be put the team and bring somebody else in.
Easier said than done. You know,
I know it's easier season done, but his time's over, in my opinion.
That's why Ebuwe Kouassi was brought to Celtic. He was to be the Brown replacement. Flopped completely. And he's still there. And he's another one on the list of missing inside Celtic Park. So Scott Brown, you're right. You can detect that he's certainly got less time left than he has had in a Celtic jersey. He's been fantastic. 500 appearances for Celtic. He's won all manner of trophies. And I've said on this programme before, he will be a very, very tough man to replace.
Alex, you're trying to think back of every game this season off the top of your head. It isn't easy. Scott Brown wasn't at his best yesterday, but then again, no Celtic player, we said, sort of got pass marks. He's still made a pretty sizable contribution this season, is he not?
Yeah, my eyebrows were raised there when the caller said that there, Gordon John. And when I look at some of the performances, was it the Kamarnock, he had the deflection. I think the following game when he stood it up to the back post, there was a late winner as well. There's times that when Celtic are huffing and puffing, he's the guy that gets them going. Whether that's a snarl at someone, whether it's a tackle, whether it's just getting the team going in the right direction. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't start the season as a captain again next year.
Is that not the problem, John? Even if you do think that he's not what he was, how difficult is it going to be for Celtic to find someone better?
It's going to be hard to replace him. But his time's done. That's my opinion. I think his time's done. And he shouldn't be starting the season. It should be get rid of him and get somebody else in.
Well, he's been written off before. He was written off before Brendan Rodgers got there, and Brendan Rodgers got
another point I want to make.
Good years out of him.
Neil Wednesday, this trophy. He walked into a Brendan Rodgers team. Do you know what I mean? He's putting a team out that's already built for him. So on this treble, it's Brendan Rodgers that's done that. It's not Neil Lennon.
Well, you have to consider the impact. When Brendan Rodgers left, the Celtic support was distraught. Now, Neil Lennon maintained stability. That could have gone horribly wrong for Celtic.
I know, but it's not him. Brendan Rodgers has done the majority, done everything.
Yeah, but he's not. Neil Lennon's not trying to steal anything away from Brendan Rodgers. He's already gone on record. He's gone on record as saying this is Brendan Rodgers' trophy. But he gave Celtic stability, Neil Lennon. He got it over the line. And for that, surely, he deserves a civilised level of respect.
He deserves a clap in the back. He didn't deserve to get a job.
Well, no, who would you go with, John, if you were, you had a choice?
Choice of who?
I'm saying if Neil Lennon wasn't the manager, who would you like to see in place?
It's a bit hard to pick it up.
Well, you've just said you don't want Neil Lennon.
Definitely, I don't want Neil Lennon.
It's all right. Sometimes you go home and you know what you don't fancy for your dinner, but you can't really think of something you do fancy. Maybe that's what John's thinking.
I think his time's up as well.
Who?
Neil Lennon's.
Neil Lennon, Scott Brown.
Well, you know, it's a fairly harsh point of view, but Scott Brown is a diminishing power, put it that way. Age and 500 appearances, of course, you begin to lose your legs a little bit. So, but I don't think he's done yet. He'll be there next season, that's for sure. Neil Lennon.
I noticed, sorry Hugh, just because we're a bit short for time, I'm keen to get your thoughts on this. I noticed Chris Hughton became available today. You know how you've got the Brighton fan club.
I know.
Is that one that would do it for the Celtic fans?
You have to factor in the Celtic fans, Gordon. And I don't think for a moment that they would see Chris Hughton as a Celtic manager.
Well, you look at the job that he's done at Brighton's terrific promotion, and then obviously keeping them in the division this year. I thought it was a very
FA Cup semi-final as well.
Absolutely, you know, you take that into consideration, the budgets and the playing style. He's got a good reputation, but I take Hugh's point on board because this is a problem that everyone has now with Celtic. They've had Hollywood.
Yeah.
They want Hollywood again. anything less than Hollywood, no good enough. And that's, they've been spoiled in the last couple of years because of the amount of trophies that Brendan's brought.
Or maybe I've, maybe I've spun the question wrong. Maybe Steven Gerrard or Neil Lennon will be the next Brighton manager. Who knows? But I think we better leave that one there.
Beat the Pundit
with Goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time, your chance for the real bragging rights against Hugh Keevans or Alex Ray. If you want to play tonight, show off your footballing knowledge and win a signed ball, you need to call us before the news at 7. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans are here, looking back on a dramatic day at Ibrox yesterday. Plenty of more reactions still to come, I'm sure. So keep the calls coming in on 0141 951 1025 and on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We've got a huge game, Monday Night Football in Paisley tonight, so we'll touch on that in just a second after we play this.
Beat the Pundit
with Goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time. Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. One of them is going to be up against one of you to try and keep the signed ball in the studio, because we've been giving them away time and time again in the last couple of nights. Gordon DL's been a particular guilty party in all of that, shall we say. But we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, Hugh Keevans. He's had a stressful weekend with his skydive.
Oh yeah, but he was out with us on Saturday night for our little bash, end of season bash, and he's fine.
Good stuff. Well, let's see if the same ball can stay tonight. Sean in Paisley is on the line. How are you, Sean?
End of season bash.
Sean, can you turn your radio off, please?
Hello.
Hi, Sean. Can you hear us?
I'm driving back to work, so I might get cut off.
Oh no, we'll be fine. We'll rattle through it. Right, I'm hoping you're on hands free, by the way. I'm sure you are. I can tell by the sound of it. We're going to toss the coin. Head, you're up against Hugh Keevans, and tails, it'll be Alex Ray. So. It's tails. It's Alex against Sean in Paisley. I'll give Alex some Clyde 2 and make sure he can't hear your answer. Sean, 30 seconds, head to head, you can pass. Here is your chance to beat the Pundit. Are you ready, Sean?
Right, no worries.
Who's taken temporary charge of Dundee following the departure of Jim McIntyre?
Pass.
Hamilton's James Keatings has signed a pre-contract with which Scottish Championship team?
Yeah, United.
John Flanagan and which other Rangers player were booked yesterday?
Arfield.
How many Scottish teams has Kenny Miller played for?
Five.
Which current Motherwell striker joined from Portsmouth in 2018?
Pass.
Okay, they were quite tough. They were tough. Let's bring Alex Ray back. Alex, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Right, same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yep.
Who will take temporary charge of Dundee following the departure of Jim McIntyre?
Kenny Miller.
Hamilton's James Keatings has signed a pre-contract with which
Inverness.
Scottish Championship side? John Flanagan and which other Rangers player were booked yesterday?
Kent.
How many Scottish teams has Kenny Miller played for?
Four.
Which current Motherwell striker joined from Portsmouth in 2018?
Maine.
What nationality is Celtic's Jeremy Tolyan?
German.
And who's been announced as referee for the Scottish Cup final?
Wally Collum.
Okay. Ah, now Sean, he was a bit quicker, so he got through more than you. Do you think that could be costly?
Not for saying that.
Ah, let's find out. First one, who's taken temporary charge of Dundee following Jim McIntyre's departure?
Is it McPake?
It's James McPake. So it was 0-0 after the first question.
Who's that?
Hamilton's James Keatings has signed a pre-contract with which Championship side? It is Inverness. Alex Ray goes one in front, but Sean equalises straight away, because John Flanagan was booked, so was Scott Arfield. I think it was for his goal celebration,
yes,
was it?
Yes.
So there we go. They were, so it was 1-1 after three questions. How many teams has Kenny Miller played for in Scotland? It's 6. So still 1-0.
Wow.
Which Motherwell striker joined from Portsmouth in 2018? It was Curtis Mayne. So Alex Ray goes back in front. What nationality is Jeremy Tolyan? He's German. And who's been announced as referee for the Scottish Cup final? It is Willie Collum. So it was quite comfortable in the end, Sean. You had him rattled for a minute, but he's got one over on you, and the sign ball stays here. Hard line, Sean.
Good
man, that was Sean in Paisley. You'll have your chance to beat the Pundit tomorrow night at the same time. Keep the calls coming in then. So much reaction to be had from yesterday on the day. Where did it go right? Where did it go wrong? What about the bigger picture? Celtic fans, does this impact Neil Lennon? What about next season? Rangers fans, is this a sign that you can compete for silverware when the new campaign starts? Let us know on the phones or on Twitter. But let's go straight to Paisley and speak to Andrew McLean, who's watching what will be a massive game at the bottom tonight. Andrew.
Yeah, good evening. A lovely night here for what you say is a massive game at the bottom at the Simple Digital Arena. Both sides scrapping to stay out of that relegation playoff spot, and both of their fates could be sealed tonight depending on the result. Hamilton, well, they sit in 10th, they're 4 points above St Mirren, who currently occupy that spot, so nothing less than a win will do for Oran Kearney's side. If they don't get it, they'll be facing either Dundee United or Inverness in a two-legged tie with their Premiership status on the line. But if they do get all 3 points, they'll drag Hamilton right back down into it, and it's all to play for going into the final weekend of the season. As for team news, it's one change for St Mirren from that draw against Motherwell last time out. Ryan Flynn drops out and Kyle Magennis comes in. It's a 4-3-3 for them. Vaclav Hladke in goal. It's a back four of Paul McGinn, Mihai Popescu, Gary McKenzie and Mateo Muzek. The midfield three, Stephen McGinn, Brad Lyons and Kyle Magennis, with Kyle McAllister and Simeon Jackson either side of Danny Mullen. The substitutes, Holmes, Ferdinand, Baird, Hodson, Flynn, Cook and Nason. And for Hamilton, well, they make one change as well. It's in goal. Ryan Fulton drops out with an injury, and in comes Gary Woods. They're playing with a 4-4-2. Gary Woods in goal. It's a back four of Aaron McGowan, Alex Gogic, Ziggy Gordon and Scott McMahon. A diamond in midfield. Regan Mimnaugh is sitting in front of the back four. Scott Martin and Darian McKinnon in front of him. Tony Andrew just in behind the strikers, who are Marius Ogbo and George Oakley. The substitutes, Marsden, Emery, Davis, Miller, Smith, Hamilton and Soa. And the referee for this one is the Scottish Cup final referee, as you heard in Beat the Pundit. That's Willie Collum.
I still say I'd rather be Brian Rice than Oran Kearney, even though Oran Kearney has home advantage. I think that 4 point advantage that the Accies have over St Mirren is massive when you're at the penultimate game of the season stage. So I'm not saying the Accies will play for a draw. I think they're capable of getting something out of their night in Paisley, and that will be good night, Vienna.
Let's hear from both managers. Oran Kearney's the home boss, so we'll do him first.
I think our performances have been good, and the consistency and standard of performances have been really good in the last, as I said, 5-6 games in particular. So for us, it's been going out and making sure that probably in a more pressurised situation that we can go and deliver that same type of performance again, and that's the aim for us. I wouldn't say there's a huge amount of pressure for us. I think the pressure's off where... I think in September, if you'd offered me this scenario that number one, we'd have guaranteed a playoff by this stage, you know, I'd have bit your arm off for it in September, October time. So we're probably in bonus territory at the minute, and whilst that opportunity is still there to go and try and stay up outright, of course we're going to go and chase it as hard as we can.
That's Oran Kearney up against Brian Rice this evening.
They've scored a lot of late goals, so that tells you they're fine. They're fighting for the manager, they're fighting for the club, the fans. But I know that anyway. I've been at St Mirren. I know what it means to the players there. I know the characters they've got in there. They will fight to the very end. Same as my boys will fight to the very end. So it's a game to enjoy, not to dread, to enjoy. If nobody's up for this game, they shouldn't be playing. Simple as that. It's going to be a great game. It's a Monday night. It's on the TV. There's a lot at stake. What more can you ask for? You know, you want to be partying. You want to be playing.
These playoff positions are huge, Alex. I mean, if it doesn't go St Mirren's way tonight, you're going to be really disappointed, but you can't afford to wallow in that disappointment because you don't have long to pick yourself up and try and properly stay in the division with the playoffs. So there's really a lot at stake.
Absolutely. I think the next couple of games are massive for St Mirren, but you have to say the recent form, Gordon, I was just looking there, the last six games have taken 9 points, 2 wins, 3 draws, not too bad. So they're in form. They're going to this game with confidence, and saying that Brian Rice has got 3 draws and a win as well, 6 points out of their last six. So it's quite nip and tuck. It'll go to the wire. And but I would like to say that if I'm in any position, it would be Brian Rice. 4 points already.
What do you make of what we heard from Oran Kearney, Hugh? Because he was 11th when they took over. I mean, it was only, what was it, 4 or 5 games into the season.
Yeah.
I mean, they are still 11th, but he says he would have, you know, taken your hand off for a playoff spot. Is that just trying to sort of keep a lid on expectations, play things down? Is that a mind game?
Well, I don't think so. I think he just speaks from the heart, Oran Kearney. When he came in, the club seemed to be in disarray. The manager had been toppled after 4 games. To be fair and honest, no one had heard of Oran Kearney, really. He then started off by getting a draw against Celtic, which was a great platform, but the platform collapsed underneath him on more than one occasion. So he's happy to take his chances. He's happy not to be Dundee and be down already. So he's got 2 games in which to pull off the great escape. And I wish him well. I just say I would rather be in Brian Rice's shoes, though, at kickoff time.
Yeah, I think what he means by that, Gordon, is at one point they actually looked as if they were going to be more automatic relegation, and this current form has actually dragged them away from that mire. But because of the appointment of Brian Rice, and we have to remember, you know, some of the form that he's had, he's produced some unbelievable, going up to Aberdeen, 2-0 wins, mm-hmm. other games are getting beat 3 and 4-0. So, that, you know, at least he's given them a fighting chance. And if you said to Brian Rice, when he came in, you'd be 4 points ahead, getting into the last two games, they'd bitten the hand off you.
01419511025. If you've any thoughts on that game, let's be having them. We're at Clyde SSB on Twitter as well. So as Andrew McLean says, by the end of the night, we could know who is going to be in that playoff place. Well, certainly if it's St Mirren. St Mirren need a win at home to Hamilton this evening. Let's go back on the phones though. Willie is in Hamilton, but he's a Rangers fan. Hi, Willie.
How's it going, guys? You all right? Great show as always.
Thank you, Willie. What's your point tonight?
My point is, right, so I was looking over the internet today, and I was looking, obviously, on online and that, and it's about the scores that players got yesterday. So, quite rightly so, I thought Katic got 7, Flanagan got 6 because of his incident and that. Now, Carl Rangers players got 8s, but I cannot fathom, right, to see where Edward got an 8. I didn't even know he was on the pitch yesterday. I just don't understand where.
What paper was this in, Willie? Willie, what paper was this in?
It was actually on the Sky review of the game.
Right.
Well, that's just one man's opinion or one woman's opinion. I agree with you that if I had been doing the man by man markings, as they're known in the trade, I wouldn't have given Edward anything like an 8 out of 10. He only came to life at the very end when he set up the chance that Ollie Burke somehow managed to squander. But, you know, I've told this story before. In newspapers, you get into more trouble over man-by-man markings than anything else. You know, how could you give him a 6?
Who was it that had a proper go at you for it?
Scott Brown, was it? No?
No. Oh, Scotty and I fought about much more important things than that. It was Michael O'Neill.
Oh, so it was.
Sorry, that's right, it was Michael
The Northern O'Neill. Ireland manager. I couldn't get him off the phone.
What did you give him?
I think 4? No, I think I did give him a 6, but he felt he was an 8. you know, it's a harmless piece of trivia. You know, you give players marks out of 10. And to be honest, if you're asked to mark, let's say that each team uses its 3 subs, you're being asked to mark 28 players in a winner. Mm. How can you properly assess 28 players in one go?
Right, Willie, let's say you were doing the markings then. Who would be the top man for Rangers yesterday?
Definitely Arfield, followed by, I'd probably go for Kamara in the midfield. Then I'd go for Tavernier and probably Goldson at the back.
Yeah, what have you made of Scott Arfield's contribution, Alex, particularly of late, that the system change has clearly suited him when Morelos doesn't play, Defoe does, it allows Scott Arfield to score more goals, essentially, or attack more often. Yeah. He got the hat-trick against Motherwell, he got one against Hearts, he got one yesterday as well. That's all within the space of the last six games.
So. Five in the last 6 games scored, and I've done my research here before the show, as we always do, and... a dozen goals for midfield. We speak about young Turnbull and young Ferguson. I think if you get a midfielder that's contributing, when he signed for Rangers, I always felt as if he was going to be a big player. Purely for the point of view, he has played at a good level. He's at a good age. He's got a good energy and a good understanding of the game. I have to be honest with you, I didn't quite see him playing this more advanced role, that he's like an inside right here, running beyond the striker and things. And listen, he's taken to it like a duck to water, rather, because of the 5 goals in the last 6 games. But he brings a lot to the table. And as I said, these guys, without being disrespectful to the last group of players and the one prior to that at Rangers, they look a lot more up for the fight. They can compete against Celtic. And, you know, if Rangers can attract players of that quality, I feel as if we've got a lot more closer.
What about the bigger picture, Willie? That's what everyone's looking at from a Rangers perspective, is this a sign of anything? It might not be, but the question's there. Is this a sign of what's to come? What can Rangers do next season? What are your thoughts on it?
To be honest, I don't think we can read into this game yesterday. I know we beat them about New Year time. They've beat us, and then obviously we brought them back to Ibrox and beat them again. However, I was quite disappointed that was nearly a full step side out yesterday. They were that side were always going to be there for the taking. But congratulations to them. They are the league champions. However, I was quite disappointed they never put their full strength side out yesterday.
Well, that wasn't through choice. You know, that's because James Forrest and Kieran Tierney were injured. So I'm sure Neil Lennon would rather have had the two of them. But that's what happens to football. Players get injured.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, it was nothing out with what you can expect in a football match. Players do get injured. Yes, Forrest and Tierney are very good. Yes, they would have made a big... Well, you imagine they would have made a big difference to Celtic, but that's just what happens. It's not like Celtic put out a reserve team and took their foot off the gas.
No, listen, when you're looking at the game yesterday, Gordon, you're looking at the player of the year in Scotland, the PFA player of the year, and Tierney, the best left back in the country by far. And when you take the type of players out of that team, the opposition get a lift first and foremost. When you look at a team sheet and you see the two guys are out, you're going, whew, who's coming in? The guys that came in didn't quite live up to the kind of standards that have been set. And, you know, there was an opportunity miss for them. But there's no way that they were left out by choice, because Neil Lennon would have been absolutely desperate to win that game yesterday.
Thanks, Willie in Hamilton. Tony's next up. He's in Clarkston. Hi, Tony.
Hello, how are you doing, Gordon?
Good, thanks, Tony. What did you take away from yesterday then? What's your point tonight?
Well, I tell you, I usually phone in about referees. And I thought Clancy had a very, very poor game yesterday. I think he bottled it against a huge Rangers crowd. The first thing is that Defoe was a definite booking for driving. He was looking straight at it, and the Flanagan was a straight red card. And I agree with, say, Scott Brown and Lenny. I think Rangers with eight players would have still won the game, but I still think Clancy got two major decisions wrong.
So this was when Defoe, it was ire in the first half, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was trying to buy himself a penalty, and he only succeeded in injuring himself.
Clancy was looking straight at it, you know. So, I mean, he got that wrong, and I think he was swayed by the crowd, and also because of the Flanagan thing. I think, again, he was looking straight at it, and how he never gave a red card. And I agree with Lenny and Brown, they would never have won the game, even if Rangers were down to eight the way they were playing. But I still think Clancy bottled it. I'm just wondering what the panel think.
Well, we said at the time, definitely a red card offence. The referee's looking at it and does decide to take action. He does see it and he decides to take action. It's a yellow card. I just couldn't fathom why it was a yellow card. It seemed to me straightforward. Flanagan had no intention of looking at the ball, playing the ball. He just kept his eye on Scott Brown, saw him coming, and bang. And for me, red card.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any complaints about that, Gordon. You see it time after time where if it's round about the facial error, then it results in a red card. It's interesting when you listen to Tony there talking about, oh, it should have been a definite yellow card. Now, if my memory serves me right, in the early exchanges, Johnny Hayes dragged someone back. There was somebody in the midfield, I think, from a range pulled back. I actually thought he let quite a lot of things go where he could easily have pulled them back and booked people. And I think it was consistent. The one main decision would have been the John Flanagan. Other than that, I thought he actually done all right.
Yeah, I mean, that is what we're here for. We are here to analyse these things. When you start looking for bookings and stuff, it does become difficult.
I think you're clutching at straws.
There are so many. What? So
in the aftermath of one of these games, Celtic Rangers or Rangers Celtic, you are
in a box looking for a penalty, you know, and the amount of guys that have been booked this year for that kind of thing, and the dive was a terrific dive, I must say, one of the best I've seen.
But anyway, you've said yourself, Tony, these things had nothing at all to do with the outcome of the match. But when these two teams meet, we and the rest of the media world are obliged to go over everything, and I mean everything, in forensic detail, because as soon as you get rid of one topic, somebody brings up another one about another real or imagined grievance.
All we can really do is try and get inside Kevin Clancy's head. I mean, it's not easy. So we don't know specifically what he saw or what he didn't see. He was in a good position for John Flanagan's incident with Scott Brown, Alex.
Yep.
Now remember, the test for violent conduct, if you like, is slightly different when it's to the body or to the face.
Yep.
Therefore, can we assume, never use that word, but can we assume that Kevin Clancy maybe thinks it was the chest rather than the chin? I don't know. That's about all you can really go on,
Gordon,
because he does look at it. He knows that Flanagan does something.
Yes.
But it's yellow instead of red.
See where I was in the gantry, and I'm looking pretty much above Kevin Clancy, and then to the instant right along towards the post area, Hugh. John Flanagan's the other side of that. He can clearly see there's a coming together. but he can't see through the back of Scott Brown
to see whether it's the top of the chest or the bottom of the chin.
That's
which,
it.
Right, okay.
Now, the other argument to that would be the linesman is looking right
should
along the line.
Should help across, yeah.
But again, you're maybe looking at the ball. Is it coming in? You, so you're looking up at the ball and then you're looking at players. You are you going to catch all this? I'm not exactly
and
sure.
And then we've had a few tweets in from Rangers fans saying, if you're going to mention this, make sure you mention Simunovic on Defoe. Hughes getting slaughtered because he said earlier the footage was inconclusive, but we're not talking about we're just talking about simply what was shown on telly. It isn't as clear. It's not quite as clear. You can't see
the one I seen on Twitter was from the cameras from the main stand, and Jermaine Defoe is the other side of Simunovic, so he's clearly put his arm across him, you know. But I'm not exactly sure whether he's caught him in the face, the chest. He's just kind of used his body to usher him forward or caught him. You just don't know.
So finish slaughtering me and get into slaughtering Alec Ray now.
Thank you very much, Tony M. Clarkson. Now here's an interesting competition for you. This might interest some of you runners out there, or maybe you want to become a runner, or maybe you want to just give it to someone as a present, because the men's 10k in Glasgow takes place this Father's Day, Sunday the 16th of June. Maybe you could give it as a Father's Day gift if you don't want to use it yourself. It starts at the Riverside Museum near Partick, finishes at George Square, so it's a cracking route. You get to take in the city centre, and thanks to the Men's 10k Glasgow, we're giving you a nice wee package. So we're going to give you free entry to the race, to the Men's 10k, a jacket, a beanie, a t-shirt, a running belt, a pair of laces. So it's a decent price. Brilliant. With a fair bit of money. You can keep it yourself, or you could give it to someone as a gift. All you have to do though is guess who's scoring this goal. Now it is a running competition, so naturally we've speeded the commentary up. See if you can guess. I can't believe I'm going to have to play that again. Listen carefully. Do you know what this commentary is? There we go. Which player scored that goal? 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now, and that running package, the men's 10k package, could be yours. You only have until the end of the break. Call us now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. Big Monday night football between St Mirren and Hamilton in the battle to stay in the Premiership. Plenty more time for your reaction to yesterday's game at Ibrox as well. I feel like I've got a list here, Hugh Keevans. There's a full time teaser coming up for you, which is a cracker. But first, let's do this, because it's the men's 10k in Glasgow, Father's Day, Sunday the 16th of June, starting at the Riverside Museum, finishing at George Square, and we are giving you a fantastic running package thanks to men's 10k Glasgow. A jacket, a beanie, a t-shirt, a running belt, laces, and entry to the race. So that's worth quite a bit of money. You might want to keep it yourself, or you might want to give it as a gift. All you had to do was tell us who scored this goal. It's a running competition, so we've speeded it up. I really want someone to get this right quickly, because I don't think I can listen to that in my earphones again. First up tonight is Michael McKeever. He's from Carluke. How are you tonight, Michael?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you? All right?
Yes, good, thanks, Michael. Who scored that goal?
I think it was James McFadden against France.
It was James McFadden against France. Well done. The men's 10k package is yours. Are you a runner yourself, or are you giving it to someone else?
I've started again running. I did a marathon for my 40th, so
magnificent.
I'll get back into it again.
Which one?
I did the Belfast one. Belfast.
That's the easiest one, isn't it?
You're going to one area or another. Pretty interesting, Alex. You try it.
I just said to the guys, I'm actually looking to do London next year for my 50th. I'm looking to do my first marathon.
Brilliant. Well done, Michael. You can go along. Take part in the men's 10k Glasgow. We've given you the goodie bag as well. Hope you enjoy it.
Excellent, thank you.
Good man, that was Michael in Carluke. If you want sign up details, go to Clyde1.com. But we'll give this away on the rest of this week as well, so stay tuned for that. If you want to phone us for footballing purposes, if you're on for the men's 10k, forget it until tomorrow. But for football, 01419511025. Here's tonight's teaser, okay?
Yes.
I'm giving Graham Robertson the credit for it, because he sent in a sort of similar question and we couldn't use it previously. So Graham Robertson, thank you. This is kind of your question. 9 Old Firm players have won PFA or the Football Writer's Young Player of the Year since 2000. So 9 players who've won the PFA or the Football Writer's Young Player of the Year since 2000. So they have to have been with Celtic or Rangers at the time.
TNA.
Won it 3 in a row, I think. Yep.
McGregor. Forrest.
Forrest, yes. McGregor, no.
Dembele.
2000.
No.
Barry Ferguson.
No.
Charlie Adam.
No.
Chris Boyd.
No. Okay, you can play along with us on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's see if you can get the answers to this question. 9 players have won the PFA Scotland or the Football Writers Young Player of the Year award since 2000 and been with Rangers or Celtic, Celtic or Rangers at the time. James Forrest, Kieran Tierney. We're looking for 7 more. Let's speak to Gary in Kilsyth. Hi, Gary.
Hi there, all right, panel.
Hi, Gary. As a Celtic fan, have you calmed down from yesterday? What did you make of it yesterday, and what about with the benefit of a day to think about it?
I was pretty really gutted yesterday, to be honest. But to be honest, I kind of expected it before the match started, and when I saw the lineup, I just had a feeling that Rangers would win it. Whereas previously, I've always been pretty confident. I just think the team, they lack an urgency, they lack an energy, especially in the midfield area. I think we miss Ryan Christie a lot, because when he plays, he's got an energy where he closes down. Watching the game yesterday, we just sat off them. There was no urgency to win the ball back. Even when we lost the ball, I don't know, counted how many times when Edward lost the ball, and he's just jogging. And in an old firm game, it's a disgrace.
Yeah,
fans spend the money, we go and watch that. And as a club, it doesn't matter if we're on for the treble. And also, as you're saying, people are saying it was a meaningless game for Celtic. No, I don't think any game's meaningless when it comes to, especially an old firm.
No, all that meaningless stuff was just nonsense. But you know, you've highlighted the fact that Ryan Christie, you could add him to Tierney and to Forrest. You know, it's a lot for Celtic to contend with. However, the problem was, half of them looked intimidated and the other half looked disinterested. And that's what's going to have to be addressed by the next Celtic manager, whether it's Neil Lennon or whoever it will be.
Alex, you've played the game many times, and you can stop me if I'm wrong. My impression would be that players are very rarely disinterested. I mean, they can look it and they can appear for a number of reasons. I'm not saying everyone, you might find the odd one who is genuinely disinterested, but is that because they don't like the way the game's going? I don't know, Rangers have stifled them, Celtic can't get into the rhythm, and that's where that comes from.
I said at the start of the show, Gordon, for me it was the way Rangers went about it. They had Celtic on the back foot right for the off. I think the shape also had a bearing in it, because the players looked to me as if they were devoid of ideas, they weren't comfortable with it, they couldn't get close to Rangers, and then Rangers started to dictate play. So when you've been in a game, it looks as, particularly when a team's been so dominant, it looks as if you're disinterested, but you're not telling me the guys are not trying. I just don't buy that. And on the upside is, when you get a goal after a minute, it gives you that extra yard, it gives you the confidence, you've got 50,000 fans behind you, and they didn't respond at all. I think that would be the thing, the lack of urgency, the lack of desire from the Celtic, and that comes from Neil Lennon.
Any pass marks at all, Gary?
The only one that showed a bit of grit, was willing to make a tackle, I'd say probably Johnny Hayes. Scott Brown did as well. Just summoning some of the players, they looked scared. They looked frightened, because Rangers were in our faces. And so, players like Tom Rodgick, I don't even know what's happened to him the last couple of months. They just hardly touched the ball, and they looked so unfit.
Yeah, that's the problem. If a player is unfit, it's inside his head as well. He knows he's not fit enough to be involved in a match of that calibre.
How much blame goes to the players individually, Alex, and how much is it a tactical problem? Because I'm not for a second saying he was wrong. Tom Rogic wasn't good yesterday, but it wasn't like he was making mistakes. You didn't see him. You didn't see him. Celtic couldn't get the ball to him. Same with Oliver Burke. We know he's quick. How many times did he find himself one on one with someone to run at? None. Maybe once, twice.
I think he tried to run the line one time. He got a corner, but other than
the very most so. Is that their fault individually, or is that a tactical problem that Celtic haven't created these openings for these players?
It was a combination of both, Gordon. When you look at some of the players on show yesterday, you look at Johnny Hayes, hasn't played a great deal of football. Mikey Johnson hasn't played in months at this level. Burke hasn't kicked a ball. But he's absolutely right in terms of Tom Rogic. He came back in January. There was a game that we actually watched. There was a ball down the line after his first couple of games back, and it looked as if he was torn a caravan. He has not got back up to speed. So I think there's a combination of players not being you know, their sharpness, plus I think they kind of weigh the game, the dynamics of how it was panning out.
Neil Lennon says they've made sloppy mistakes recently and Rangers were good enough to capitalise on them.
No, I think in the main, since January, the players have been fantastic. But there have been moments in games along the way where I've not been happy, and I've touched on it before about the style of play, and against better opposition, you get done if you keep making the same sloppy mistakes. And, you know, 2 minutes into the game, you're thinking, right, fine, 1-0, settle. But we never really settled. We never really, as an attacking unit, we weren't very good today at all. We lacked a lot of quality. And like I say, desire. You can talk just up tactics all you want. We started with a 3, changed it, went with a 4, didn't make any impact at all. If you don't have it, if you don't want it enough, then you're going to lose the game, which we did today.
How are you getting on with this teaser? We're looking for 9 players who've won the PFA Scotland or the Football Writers Young Player of the Year since 2000. You've got Tierney and Forrest so far.
McGeady and Maloney.
Hugh Keevans, are you bringing anything?
Paddy Roberts?
No.
What about Chris Burke?
No.
I'm thinking about Rangers.
Are you saying that McGeady and Maloney are correct?
Yeah.
Alan Hutton?
Nope. Okay, give you some more thinking time. Robert is a Rangers fan in Cardonald. Hi, Robert.
Hello there. How you doing?
I'm good, Robert. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks.
Good. What's your point?
Yeah, it was about some of the songs that were sung at the game on Sunday. Probably one song in particular which stood out. Song singing about ex-Celtic players, you know, the Lisbon Lions. You know, it's very, you know, I was sitting on the couch with my six-year-old and, you know, I was hearing it, you know, and I couldn't believe I was hearing it, you know, it made me a wee bit sick, you know.
Yeah, there were, let me state right away that the singing at Ibrox yesterday was a bitter disappointment. It was shameful. And that particular song was worst of all because we at Super Scoreboard were contacted over the weekend by Paul Chalmers, who is the son of Stevie Chalmers. And he wanted us through this programme to convey the Chalmers family's thanks to Rangers Football Club for the wreath that was sent to the church at St Mary's in the Carlton when Stevie was laid to rest. They asked us to thank Rangers Football Club. And they also asked us to thank the Rangers supporters for the messages of condolence which the family had received. And of course, we are happy to do so. And isn't it awful, Robert, that while the Chalmers family are asking us to thank Rangers Football Club and those Rangers supporters who offered messages of condolence, that thousands of people, we're not talking about a minority here, thousands of people were singing that awful song.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a video previously a couple of weeks ago, you know, it was maybe like a dozen or so, you know, like the Rangers are playing abroad, you know, but to see it live on Sky Sports, you know, it's very disheartening.
I also wonder, sorry to interrupt, Robert, I also wonder how Steven Gerrard feels. You know, here is a man who has come up here to work very hard on Rangers' behalf to re-energise and restore the club to a better place in Scottish football. What he must think of all this nonsense, I would not know.
Alex?
No, I totally agree. When I heard it as well, it's so, as I said, it's so disheartening, Gordon. It shouldn't happen. I spoke on the show that when John Gregg went down to Billy McNeil's, you know, when we had the tribute and the reefs and whatnot, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I thought it showed class. And then when you hear this a couple of weeks later, it just kind of leaves a sour taste in your mouth. It's just not acceptable.
You know, Rangers are returning to a high-profile place in Scottish football after many years going through the lower divisions. And it's a very exciting time for their supporters. The job is far from done. But, you know, next season, surely if you want to have a team capable of winning the championship, surely you could find other songs to sing.
Robert?
Yeah, would I really come in? Yeah, I mean, it's not just yesterday. I mean, you could probably, you heard it yourself. There's probably maybe another 4, 5, 6 songs that really shouldn't have sung, you know. And we're going back to, you know, there's a few other teams in the league singing songs about managers shouldn't be sung, you know. I mean, I remember
song being sung about Tommy Burns, you know, and it's just kind of carried on, you know. I mean, it's not getting much better.
Yeah, well, Robert makes a fair point, Hugh. It's the latest in a long list of different types of things that we've been disappointed about. Let's not kid ourselves. Many different sets of fans have been guilty of various different things this season, and it's always the reaction to it is often as telling as the action itself, because take a look at social media.
Yeah.
Not everyone thinks it's wrong. Everyone is sorry. Exactly. Not everyone is regretful. And again, I'm not just talking about this. I'm talking about every time something like this happens. Mm-hmm. And people think it's okay.
I wouldn't touch social media for the rest of this evening because of Robert's call. Because on social media, Robert will be accused of not being a Rangers supporter. And we will be accused of highlighting what happened yesterday and not highlighting other games. But Robert's call was timely because, as I said, the Chalmers family, through Paul Chalmers, asked Super Scoreboard to thank Rangers Football Club for the wreath sent to St Mary's in the Carlton, and to thank those Rangers supporters, upstanding, proper Rangers supporters, who offered messages of condolence to the Chalmers family.
Thank you, Robert and Kirkdonald. Any more on the teaser? 9 players who've won the PFA Scotland or Football Writers Young Player of the Year since 2000 and been at Celtic or Rangers at the time. You've got Maloney, McGeady and Tierney.
Chris Burke.
Alex already said him.
Danny Wilson.
Yes, Danny Wilson.
Oh, big Dan.
So that's your first Rangers one.
Yes. First, that means there's more here.
I know what you two need. Thinking time. And we've got kickoff in Paisley next as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. They've got work to do on the teaser. We're looking for 9 players who've won the PFA Scotland or Football Writers Young Player of the Year since 2000 and been with Rangers or Celtic at the time. You've got Sean Maloney, Aidan McGeady, Kieran Tierney and James Forrest from Celtic. You've got Danny Wilson from Rangers. And you've got 4 still to get.
We're struggling.
I can see that. No guesses at all?
No.
Just if it makes any difference. You've got 1 more Rangers to get, 3 more Celtic.
Darren O'Dea?
No. Okay, we are about to kick off between St Mirren and Hamilton. Remember, St Mirren need to win to try and prolong their fight, their attempts to stay out of the relegation playoff. If Hamilton get anything tonight in Paisley, St Mirren will be in the playoffs. And that'll be nervy times for all involved. Match prediction, Alex?
I'm going to go for 1-1, Gordon.
So the Ackies to do the business, essentially.
Yes.
Hugh Keevans?
St Mirren 0, Ackies 1.
Ooh, you've got them written off as well. This coming from the man who got the score prediction bang on yesterday. I had to laugh at all the tweets that were coming in yesterday going, oh, Celtic get beat, Hugh Keevans will be raging. These people do not know how much joy this fella takes from getting a score prediction right. You've seen the smile on his face at full time.
Every blue moon he gets one right.
I know, exactly. I broke the habit of a lifetime.
No, I think
on the day that Rangers play Celtic,
you got a knacker up this season as well,
yeah,
didn't you?
But on the day that Rangers play Celtic, I would never go out at night. But my son is up visiting from Brighton, and my son-in-law, and he had gone to a public house, and they asked me after our programme was over to go, and I really went thinking, fearing the worst. But everyone was very nice, very kind, and we were getting home by car. My daughter came to pick us up, and as the drinkers outside in the sunshine, as I got to go into the car, a table stood up and started to chant, Specky Tube, Specky Tube, Specky Tube.
So I saw your pals.
Yeah, that was his son and his son-in-law. And,
anyway, I still can't think of any young Celtic and Rangers players.
All right, we're underway. St Mirren against Hamilton. We'll keep you up to speed on anything that happens. Still time for more calls on yesterday's game at Ibrox, I'm sure. Any other big footballing points jump Kamarnock out at you from the weekend?
Yeah, Kamarnock moving back into third place, still on queue to try and nick that automatic European place, Gordon.
And of course, Hugh, we are manager down. Maybe not entirely surprising.
No.
I don't know, maybe it was. No. Jim McIntyre is no longer the Dundee boss.
To be fair, any manager who'd lost 10 games in the bounds and been relegated was always going to be under severe pressure. And I like Jim, and I think he's capable of doing good work. Dundee just didn't work out for him. And it can be like that sometimes. You know, managers can go to a club with a previously good CV and it just doesn't happen for them. And I think that in Kenny Miller, Dundee may have a natural replacement if they care to go down that road. Being Kenny's 39 now, it's not as if you're appointing a kid. And I think he would be the front runner for the job.
Whoever gets the job, Gordon, will have a substantial budget at that level. They've still got the parachute, they've got the American backers, they have thrown money at it. So it's a job that, you know, just clean the place out, try and get the best players and then try and get them back out of that division at the first time of asking, because that's really when you have to do it. Because if you get languish in there for a few years, you know, the parachute goes and then all of a sudden it becomes a chore.
Nothing on the teaser?
No.
Can I steer you in the right direction?
Jackie Mack?
No and no. Who is the holder of the Young Player of the Year?
James.
I mean, it's been a whole week since he got the award.
Oh, right. It was the young player was Kent.
Dear, oh dear. Ryan Kent.
Come on, Hugh.
Right, you've got three to get. I've
already given you five.
You've got three to get, and they're all Celtic players. former Celtic players, I should say. Frank is in Springburn. Hi, Frank.
How you doing, guys?
Hi, Frank. What did you make of yesterday then?
I thought it was a disgrace. But can I just say, can I just thank Atletico Bilbao for their class yesterday when they invited Wilmot Neal's daughter and John Clark over to receive an award for Big Billy for the one club thing.
Yeah.
And it was absolute sheer class, which was the total opposite that happened yesterday at that place. Because the last caller stole my thunder with the disgraceful songs. That was my first point.
Yeah, yeah. Morning. I think you pretty much said what you had to say on it, Hugh. I don't know if you've got much else to add.
We have a problem in this country with this kind of thing. And yesterday was a bad example of it. And before anyone shouts and bawls, I am aware that it goes on at other grounds as well. As I say, we have a problem with this in Scotland. But it was particularly sad because in the week we've been contacted by Paul Chalmers asking to pass on the Chalmers family thanks to Rangers Football Club for the wreath sent to St Mary's Church on the day of Stevie's funeral. So it's particularly sad. We're just simply highlighting what took place yesterday.
It's been a brilliant season here on the field. I don't think anyone can deny that. But almost, you know, the number of clubs that have got misdemeanours against their name for fan behaviour or songs or various other things. We should be beyond saying, "Ah, but it's them," and why are you not talking about them? And I never heard you mention this. You've got to be beyond that stuff, otherwise it never goes forward.
The other thing I would say, people challenge you, almost threaten you, to bring it up. Do they think for one second that anyone approves of that kind of thing, in whichever ground it takes place? Do they think for one second that we approve it? We abhor it wherever it takes place.
Frank, what about the football?
Well, I thought my fellow Celtic supporters were saying that the game didn't matter yesterday because we won the league. Well, I can tell you it mattered to me and it mattered to thousands like me. These players yesterday played as if it didn't matter to them, and it was an absolute disgrace.
Well, those same players have, for the last 3 years, accumulated 8 trophies. It might be 9 on the 25th of May. So they have given their all for Celtic. But yesterday, psychologically,
if it's one game you can't down tools to, it's yesterday.
Well,
that's what they've done.
Yeah, as I say, half of them seemed intimidated and the other half seemed not to care. So it's for the permanent manager of Celtic to sort out in the next season. They will have been told in no uncertain terms by Neil Lennon that it was unacceptable, and that the only way that footballers can atone for something like that is to go to Hampden on the 25th of May and make sure that Celtic win the Scottish Cup and therefore the treble.
Okay, thank you to Frank and Springburn. We'll have to leave it there because we're running out of time. 6 minutes on the clock. St Mirren 0, Hamilton 0. George Oakley for Hamilton Accies misses an absolute sitter. Alex Ray.
Yeah, I was I couldn't believe what I was watching. There was a ball, he took it round the goalkeeper on his left foot, he took an eternity and then ballooned it over the bar. So Middleman right up the park, and young Kyle McGuinness, you'd expect him just to kind of side foot it into the corner. Again, he's ballooned it over the bar. Two great opportunities.
Tonight's question is this: 9 players have won the PFA Scotland or Football Writers Young Player of the Year award since 2000 and played with Rangers or Celtic at the time. You've got Maloney, McGeady, Danny Wilson, James Forrest, Ryan Kent, Kieran Tierney.
Stefan Johansson?
No, he was the main player, not the young player.
Wanyama?
Nope.
Kyle?
So there are 3 Celtic players you're looking for, 1 Scot, 2 Europeans.
One Scot, 2 Europeans.
Okay, European defender. But it was his pal that's gone on to have all the accolades.
Jason Denier.
Jason Denier. Well done, Jason Denier. And the other two, we're going now, we're going way back to the beginning of this time frame. If I give you this one's nationality, he'll nail it.
2000.
Bulgarian.
Petrov.
Stan Petrov.
Stan Petrov. And the last one is a Scot. He joined Celtic from Motherwell.
It would have been I played with him.
Where?
I think I played with him in Scotland.
No,
I
not
played
sure.
Once.
Nah, ages off.
McKinley, Tosh.
No. I think he went down to Derby after that. Scored in the playoffs. I'm sure it was Derby. Why can't I remember specifically? Initial time.
Yes.
SP.
Or Stephen Pearson.
Stephen Pearson. Thank you, Alex and Hugh. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock with Gordon DL and Roger Hanna. Callum Gallagher is, Ryan Borthwick I should say, is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.